In the 1970s, a new game came out. It was called Atari. It was for the TV. It was I'm sure you guys have maybe heard of it or seen it maybe. You could play Pong on it and I guess tennis it was called. Anyway, I saw this and I thought, wow, that would be fantastic. That would be wonderful. And so came to my parents and said, you know, hey, I really want this game. And they said to me, well, you know, the typical answer, well, put it on your Christmas list and maybe, you know, maybe you'll get it for Christmas. But this was like in March, and I'm like, huh, gotta wait all that long? Waited and waited, waited. Everybody I told what I wanted for Christmas was this Atari. I just couldn't wait for this to hopefully get this for Christmas. And so finally the wait was over. It was December, and there beneath the tree was this big box. And I was so excited because I could imagine what was inside that package. Well, I undid the wrappings, and then to my surprise or disappointment, I suppose, it was a thing called Intellivision, and it wasn't the Atari game. I was disappointed. I really wanted that. It was so disheartening. Well, this morning, as we said, is Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday, where King Jesus rides into town. People have heard about his miracles that he had done. People had heard about the healing of the sick, the raising of the dead that he has done, and they're all excited because now their king is coming, and they get these palm branches, and they get their cloaks, and they lay them along the ground and singing, Hosanna, here's our king. This king is going to be even greater than our ancestor, King David. Our king has finally arrived after waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. He is here. We can't wait, and we celebrate the fact that here he is, King Jesus. Jesus tells his two disciples to go and get a donkey that he's going to ride into town on. And there Jesus comes into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, and people are singing Hosanna, praise to the king. But Jesus comes riding into town on a donkey. Not on a stallion or not on a white horse. You see, a white horse would signify that he's going to be a military king, that he is going to be one that would take them away from the tyranny that Rome had on their grasp. Jesus comes riding into town on a donkey. He's not going to be the kind of king that the people wanted, or nonetheless, the people really expected their king to be. I mean, here we are, we're under the oppression of the Roman government. Come and free us, King. Free us, King, from that oppression. But he's not the kind of king that the people wanted or expected. So that begs the question, what do you expect? What do you want God to be for you? What should he be? What do you expect him to be? Well, we're going to look at a couple of things that we don't want God or we shouldn't expect God to be for us. And the first is that many people, unfortunately, though, think of God as this Santa Claus God, if you will. This God who we just go to when we need something. Okay, I really need this thing, so hey, try everything else. Why not pray about it? God is, after all, the giver of all things, right? He's the giver of all material things, and so we expect God to give us anything that we want. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't ask God for things, because certainly we should. Scripture tells us to ask, to seek, and to knock, and he will open the door for us. But that's not the primary focus of who God is for us. He's not just the giver of these material things. I mean, think about your prayer life. When do you pray? Is it just when you need something? Is it just when you want something? Is that the only time you go to God in prayer? And then the content of that prayer, is it sounds something like this? Oh God, please give me. Oh God, please grant this for me. You see, sometimes people get in this expectation that God is just like this Santa Claus, and we give him a wish list of the things that we want, and then we just expect him to give us those things. Because after all, he says, ask, and I will give you those things. Well, secondly, some people think that the Christian life should be free from all trials and tribulations. The Christian life should be free from trouble. And that's what they expect God to be. I mean, I'm going to follow you, God. I'm going to worship King Jesus. And so now that I'm a Christian, my life should be easy. My life should be a piece of cake. I mean, after all, you say, even in John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says these words. He says, I have come to give you life and give it to you abundantly. So we should expect an abundant, great life. This side of heaven, Jesus says it, right? But no. Romans 8, 28 says these words. It says that we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. So we love God, so he's going to give us good things, right? But that's not what that verse entails. That verse means that whatever Satan throws at us, the terrible, tragic events that come in our life, God can make the good. God will make the good out of those events. It doesn't mean that this life, this side of heaven, is going to be all hunky-dory and easy as we live our lives, as we live in a broken, sinful world. But he can take those tragic events and God turns it into something happy and joyful and ultimately better than what was better than that original circumstance. There's a couple, Caitlin and Joe. They were a great young Christian couple. They were married for like 10 years and were not able to have children. Finally, on about their 12th year of marriage, Caitlin was expecting a child. They were so happy. Great celebration. Finally, God's going to give us this wonderful gift of a child. We can't wait for this child to come. Well, at one of her examinations, it was found that Caitlin, the mother, had a very fast, aggressive, growing cancer. And after further tests and things, the doctor told her, I have some good news and some not so good news. The good news is we've been very successful in treating this form of cancer. Yes, it's very aggressive, fast-moving, and we got to treat you right away with chemo and radiation, but there's like a 95% success rate that we can rid your body of this cancer. Wonderful news. But the bad news is you're going to lose your child along the way. The chemo and the radiation will take your baby. Caitlin, who was a good Christian woman, cries out to God, where is the good, God? Where is the good in this situation? Sure enough, she has been cancer-free for 5+ years now, and she looks back and says, well, is the good the fact that I'm rid of the cancer, that that's gone from my body? Is that the good that I can expect, God, or is there something more to it? Well, after a few years, the couple looked into and researched adoption, and they found a little baby girl, Julia, in an orphanage in the Ukraine, and they adopted little Julia. And little Julia is the joy in this couple's life. They are so overflowed with joy and happiness to have this precious little one in their life that they could give a Christian home to. But Caitlin has said many times, you know, if that tragic event, if that cancer didn't happen in my life, we would not have this bundle of joy, this little Julia in our life. God certainly turned the tragic event into a good and a great thing in their life. Now, don't get me wrong, we can't always see the Julias that God puts into our lives. Sometimes there's tragic, bad events that occur that Satan throws at us, and God uses those just to strengthen us in our faith or to draw us closer to him. Sometimes it's not obvious to us what that good is that God is making us in that situation. But he does give us that promise that he turns those tragic events into something good for him, for those who love him. Well, years ago, that Christmas morning, I didn't get what I wanted. I didn't get what I expected. I didn't get the Atari game. I got something called Intellivision. I was disappointed. It was frustrating. I didn't get what I wanted. But let me tell you, That game was so much better. That Intellivision was so much fun. Had years and years of fun playing that game. It was so much better. Technology in those 2 months have come so far. Think how far we've come in the last, 40 years, huh? But it was so much better than that original Atari game. And so, this morning, the crowd, the people may have been disappointed because Jesus' day, they were expecting this military king. They were expecting this king who would come in and take them away from the Roman government, that would free them from the tyranny that Rome had on them. They couldn't wait. He was going to be greater than King David. He was going to be this great and valiant king. I mean, look at all the miracles he's done in the past. He's raised people from the dead. He is mighty. He's going to be a powerful, great king. We can't wait. That's certainly what we expect out of this king. But they didn't get that out of Jesus. But they got something so much better. They got so much better from King Jesus than could ever be imagined. You see, Jesus comes, and he comes riding as a king, yes, but not a military king. Imagine if he had freed them from the Roman tyranny. How long would that have lasted? Until another nation would have possibly taken over the country again. It was not an everlasting, not an eternal liberation that would have occurred. But King Jesus comes and he liberates us. He frees us. He's freed the people 2,000 years ago, and he has freed us because he has forgiven us all of our sins forever. It's not a temporary fix. The people who sinned 2,000 years ago have been freed, liberated, forgiven of their sin. And the same is true for you and for myself. We've been freed. We've been forgiven. As Jesus, those 5 days later after Palm Sunday, goes to the cross to pay the price for our sin, once and for all, completely and totally forgiven. That sin that you committed a couple months ago that still is nagging you, it's been forgiven. It's been taken to the cross by our Savior, Jesus. That sin that we've committed this morning is gone. Jesus took it to the cross. That sin that we're going to commit tomorrow and the next day, Jesus has taken it to the cross. He's forgiven us. We have that total forgiveness in our Lord. And where there's life, where there's forgiveness, there's life. Life everlasting. We have eternity to look forward to. We have everlasting life. This life here on earth is temporary. 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years or so, whatever the Lord gives us is temporary here on earth. We're going to live forever with him. Jesus has paved the way as he rose victorious on that Easter Sunday. He's paved the way to say life here on earth is temporary. Life in heaven is forever. And we have the promise from our God that he is going to grant us eternal life. What can you expect from God? You can expect forgiveness. You can expect our loving God to say, you're forgiven. My son took the wrath upon the cross, and so now you have everlasting life. You have forever with God in heaven, where there's no pain, no suffering, no heartache, no trials, no tribulations there in heaven. But we have just the complete and total presence with our God. But you know, the good thing about Christianity is our eternal life begins now. We have Christ tabernacling, living, dwelling inside of us. This almighty, this all-powerful God has given us his Spirit. And that Holy Spirit lives inside of your heart. The Holy Spirit lives and dwells in you. Our God will never leave you or forsake you. That's what we can expect from our God. I will be with you always, he says. I will never leave you, never forsake you. Yes, I'm the giver of all things. And we can call upon God and ask him for things, but that's not his primary focus of what he should be for us. We can't expect him to give us all these material possessions just because we want them. or we don't expect a life free from trials and tribulations here this side of heaven, but he's promised us eternity with him, life forever with our Lord because of Jesus, our Savior, who went to the cross for all of our sins. To that we sing Hosanna. We sing praise to God for always being with us. Amen. Please rise as we pray together. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, you gave your Son, our Savior Jesus, who is the better king than what was even expected or hoped for. Not a military king, but a king of peace and comfort, a king who went to the cross to take away all of our sins. Lord, we are forever grateful for that King Jesus, our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen.